A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, going to be talking about REACH. REACH, of course, stands for Reaching Everyone for Active Citizenry at Home. And it was a feedback unit that was started in 1985, but was appointed the Singapore government's e-engagement platform 10 years ago.
Now, so Budget 2019 announcements are still fresh in our minds, and it was delivered by Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat on Monday. We've heard from analysts. Now, let's hear what Singaporeans have to say about this budget.
We welcome in the studio Madam Rahayu Mazam, MP and Vice Chairman of REACH. Good morning.
Good morning, Elliot, and also Brian.
Today happens to be Single Task Day. I'd like to get your opinion. Are you a single task person, or are you an expert in multitasking?
Being a young mother, I have to be an expert in multitasking.
So you're a multitasker by default.
Yes, but whether I have the skills to do so, that's another thing altogether.
We can only try.
So we have an opinion that, and Ryan and myself, that, you know, women are naturally predisposed to multitasking, you know. Yeah. However, Elliot disagrees.
I believe that humans should not be multitasking.
It can be dangerous.
No, it's true, right? I mean, just look at the traffic report. Let's get serious. Let's talk about REACH. We mentioned what it stands for, what's about. Could you tell us or give us some background about REACH? Because I think it's been around for so long, but not a lot of people know about it. Mm. Maybe it's been heavily publicized over the past 2 years. What's the main objective?
Mm. REACH is actually the lead agency facilitating the whole of government efforts to engage and to connect with fellow citizens, really to understand what are their concerns, the national and social issues that concern them the most. So we also realise that it's very important to get feedback so that the government can improve and hone its policies. So REACH serves that purpose. It really seeks out opinions and thoughts from people and channels that back to the different government agencies and ministries so that they can work on improving some of the efforts that they've put in place.
Okay, Rahayu, let's get down to the details. How do people engage with REACH, and how do you engage vice versa with different communities? Mm.
So REACH essentially has three main roles. One is to gauge the ground sentiments, to engage citizens, and also to promote active citizenry. And we do that through various means. There are very varied channels to do that. And as you mentioned, Brian, there are different communities, and so you need to kind of get to where they are. So at one level, we have the listening points, which is actually a mobile pop-up kind of space where we actually get feedback from people in different areas, in different neighbourhoods. So, for example, this time around during the budget season, we're doing it in some IHLs, some institutions.
Institute of Higher Learning.
Okay. So we have that, and we have in food centres, we have it in the CBD area, basically to share and let people know, hey, this is happening, what are your thoughts about it? And so that's one model.
Which is like a roadshow.
Like a roadshow. Okay, yeah, okay. So we have officers standing by to catch the feedback and also to clarify and explain some of the things that have been rolled out. We also do it via dialogues. So we would have dialogues for different community groups, different languages. So I had one recently with Minister Masagos for the Malay community, and they also do it in Mandarin, in Tamil and all that. So that's one opportunity to actually engage. REACH also does things like this, radio shows. We send representatives, I guess, to Mr. Liang had one session with the Chinese radio, and I'm here. And really to just share and listen to listeners. Also, we have online presence through Facebook, through Instagram and Twitter to just get that sense and feedback from people.
Talk about like sifting through comments and feedback. Ryan mentioned earlier on that is there a WhatsApp group chat that happens as well? And there was one, and it was very active while Finance Minister Heng was delivering his budget at 3:30. Naturally, you know, and this is no secret, Singaporeans, they keep complaining. How do you work through all this noise that's going on to really get out quality feedback?
Actually, the approach is really to allow for that platform, because part of it is also catharsis, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you want people to actually feel that their opinions matter. It's also about, you know, there are certain rules of engagement, I suppose, in every space. And so it's about respectfully putting in their opinions. But we also need to allow for that sentiments, because why do people feel so strongly about it? Because it matters to them, because it has affected them. So it's really about trying to allow for that space to share their views. But at the end of the day, it's also, Rich is also trying to create a two-way conversation,
right?
Because sometimes some discontent or unhappiness arises out of misunderstanding or not really being clear of what are the things that can support or help them. So it is also about trying to clarify the intent of certain policies and how certain help can be given, how support can be given. So it's like a two-way process. You know, sometimes different components of it are different. So you'll have feedback that relates to, say, a certain particular issue. Then it's about channeling it appropriately to the appropriate ministries. You know, I suppose this is just my personal experience. I'm an MP at Jurong, and I walk around sometimes, and often, you know, you'll get people, in inverted commas, complaining. But out of that, sometimes there's just real genuine feedback. So I remember just talking to this uncle, and he was just unhappy about a lot of general things, and I was trying to understand further, you know, what is it he was truly unhappy about, and he couldn't really pinpoint. He just really needed to just
I'm just not happy.
But then eventually he said, okay, there's this and there's that. Then one final, like, tangible thing he said was that, oh, there is this, the tiles of this particular area is popping up, so, you know, people can fall. I said, okay, that's good feedback.
That's
we
fair.
Went to that space, we looked at it and said, oh yes, they are popping up, so we fixed it. And so I think it's about trying to find a gem through all, or sometimes the noise, but the reality is that the emotions are important, because we want people to feel the ownership of, you know, having that part of this country, they're part of this nation building. I think it also takes time to kind of hone that skills and understanding of certain things, because sometimes people just say it because they don't completely understand everything. So that's where Rich also comes in providing the information. And many times there has been opportunities to allay concerns, to address some feedback. Of course, there will be things that people disagree upon, and then, okay, fine, then that's something that we can always work on, but at least people understand better. And also there's that channel for us to actually give back a lot of that information to the ministries so that they can hone their skills better in communicating it, and as well as improving the policies.
Now, Rahayu, REACH has been around since 1985. Has the feedback mechanism or the methodology in which you actually get feedback, how has that evolved over the years, and what are the areas of improvement that you're looking at moving forward?
So clearly, because our mode of communication has also evolved over the years, right? I mean, in the past, emails and even WhatsApp is not something that's so common. Twitter and Facebook are fairly new, relatively new platforms. So yes, it has evolved over time and has gone through a lot of sort of branding exercise, you know, to try and get things to where it is now. And it's also a continued work in progress. So for example, at the start, people would say, consider, oh, you're just telling the government and they won't listen, right? And so then you need to change that sentiment so that people are willing to give that feedback. So you're saying that, look, it's a platform. It doesn't matter what you say. So it's about respecting their complaints or whatever concerns they have, and actually make sure that we address that and bring that back, take that up. But it's also about trying to find the new modes of communication and reaching out to the different groups of people, because that's the thing, right? The thing can be there for so many years, people don't know. So it's about, it's not just about being there, but it's about being present. So they go to the heartlands, you know, the officers go to the heartlands to actually go to the markets. You go, when you're talking about transport, you go to the MRT stations, to the bus stations, where people will be, to their workplaces, to their schools. So that's one approach, to actually reach out. And continuously, we are looking for new and innovative ways. I think at one point, we even like tried, like, oh, okay, let's have a food truck, and then for one hot dog, and then you'll get your feedback.
Food always tempts
exactly.
People
so that's
Singapore.
Just one model. I mean, it was a trial, but the point is this, that we are constantly looking for new ways to try and engage and getting people interested to know a little and also to give their thoughts on it.
We're speaking with Madam Rahayu Mazam, MP and Vice Chairman of REACH. We're talking about Budget 2019 feedback. Is there a particular group or society or maybe even a demographic that is more active in giving feedback? I'm thinking, you've mentioned the older generation, but they sound like a group that's more face-to-face type of feedback. Could you break it down a little bit for us?
Actually, interestingly, we receive feedback from different groups. Firstly, because we go out and seek out feedback from different groups. Because when you're at the schools, clearly you're getting the students and universities. When you're at the marketplaces, perhaps you get a different demographic. So at one level, we actually get a broad spectrum. And within each group, there will be different types of people. Because the ability to now and to have access to that feedback mechanism is actually fairly simple. So any, even a housewife, even an auntie or uncle can provide that feedback. So for those who may prefer a more face-to-face approach, we have the listening points. But constantly online, we're receiving emails, we're receiving things on our Facebook
and
Twitter.
So it's very broad.
And so it's about trying to catch that. We also have our regular contributors who will give their feedback and then we engage them in dialogue sessions. You know, these are platforms and opportunities for people who may want to spend a little bit more time engaging and discussing on certain things. So you kind of have a variety of people coming on board because of the manner in which we seek out the feedback.
This morning we're speaking with Madam Rahayu Mazam, MP and Vice Chairman of REACH. We're talking post-budget 2019 feedback. Rahayu, with regard to this year's budget, what are some of your main takeaways from this year's budget? And how much of it was from policies influenced via REACH feedback? Could you share some examples as well?
Okay, maybe firstly, just to address in terms of how the feedback gets churned to the ministries and how you see that being transformed into changes, right? It's a little difficult to kind of credit a particular mode because REACH is one of the many different ways that the government seeks out feedback because each ministry would have its own efforts. But clearly, it has worked with a lot of government agencies in terms of trying to allow for that platform and get that information in. So it's very hard to kind of track, okay, what if this person said this, and then this is what happened because there's so much feedback and there's also many different things that happen in the course of the period. But in any case, in respect of budget specifically, there's been also a lot of engagement even before the budget to try and get some sensing from people, and that's been channeled. So generally for this budget, my personal takeaways really is that it is really a budget is, I suppose, not in sort of the layman's term of it, like budget, but really for the national budget, it is really a direction, map, a guide, you know, for us to navigate through some of the challenging times with the trade wars, with, you know, and changing economic circumstances, shifting of weight towards Asia and things like that. So it's really about us trying to have that map and that plan to make sure that we can leverage and build our economy better, equip our economy, meaning in our people and our firms, so that our people can have a better life. Yeah. So that's really the large big picture for the budget. And it builds on the industry transformation exercise, which has been introduced a couple of years back. So it's really an evolution over time and really the progress and a sort of a check-in of how we're doing and how we're actually channeling back that support to the people.
But Rahayu, that's a macro level view of the budget. But then how does, let's go down to the brass tacks, really the micro level. And how do you think this budget has addressed the main priorities of Singaporeans today?
So with the constant sort of feedback that we're getting in terms of the specific areas, some of the emerging issues, or rather the more pressing issues, can be seen. One, healthcare concerns of the generation that's growing older. The issues of cost of living between of the sandwich class who's having to take care of their parents as well as their children. And then you've got issues of businesses trying to adapt and change in this whole climate of the economy changing. So these are some of the issues that have been identified, and the budget seeks to address some of this. It might not be something that one sees as a direct response, but it's really looking at the whole ecosystem and the structure. So in terms of, say, talking about, say, the economy and trying to make it better and stronger, we have to look at the different sectors of the different stakeholders. You talk about empowering your workers and making sure that they're skilled workers and that they're supported in that journey. And, you know, because you've got to shift industries, you want to make sure that they are given the necessary support. You're talking about empowering your firms. So we have seen, you know, questions being raised about the dependency ratio ceiling and all that and how it's affecting the services sector. But there is a need to do that because there is a need to make sure that we nudge our businesses to the right direction of change. And so there's that aspect of it. Then when you talk about the people, it's about providing them that support calibrated in a way that is sustainable for the government and for Singapore, making sure that they get help if they need that help. So with the Merdeka Generation Package, that has been something that people relatively generally has indicated that it's positive. So providing that support there, but also actually ensuring that in terms of subsidies given to other things, they are also supported for lower income families. So it's targeted support. So lower income families, you may need more help, we're giving you more help.
So, and I want to pick up on your point on that, because one of the topics that has really been part of the national conversation, especially in the last 12 months, is really the issue of income inequality. How is that
being addressed? So that's the thing, right? So it's not just about, okay, there's income inequality, I'll give you more so that it'll be leveled. It doesn't work that way, right? Because we know that with an ecosystem, it is about a long-term solution and uplifting. So that is actually the response. The government's response to it was by way of actually introducing uplift and also looking at the preschool sector, because we all know that education is a social leveler. If you actually equip the family and especially children with early support in their education, the track and that pathway for them would be completely different. So that's one aspect of it, to make sure that there's quality preschool education that can be supported. And we're also then having this other program, Uplift, to try and see where are the gaps and to try and make sure that there's support given. So that's one aspect of it. But at the same time, we're looking at empowering families. So it's making sure that they have proper jobs, that they get the necessary skills, that they get the necessary financial support. But there's also efforts about trying to get them out of their situation in supporting them to get home ownership when they are at a certain threshold. So all those policies sort of come in as a whole suite and a whole package to try and address this problem of social inequality.
What about the latest GST import relief? If you could quickly highlight, what are people saying about that? Because Singaporeans, we like to travel a lot.
Yeah, interesting enough, at least from our channels, it's not something that has sort of been talked about so much on my personal capacity. Yeah, people make comments about it.
So more on the bicentennial bonus, Merdeka Generation?
Yeah. More on the Merdeka Generation. Okay. And generally, people feel that it is a compassionate budget. Yep. It is comprehensive. Sentiments are fairly neutral, I suppose, because there are some bits of it that they like and some bits of it that they don't.
Just for fun, anyone come up to you and say, wow, so many grants, so many good things means this year got election? Do people ask you that? You don't have to answer the election question, but do people ask you that?
Yes, that's a sentiment. And also because outreach, that's also a sentiment that some have commented.
Okay, within your own internal organization.
So these are things that we
generally have seen.
Generally, that's what people are saying, we have seen that. And it's sort of beyond my pay grade when election is or not. So, but the thing is this, I think at the end of the day, it is really making sure and seeing whether or not the budget is a good one. I don't know if it being an election budget means that it's actually a good budget, right?
You never know, right?
Yeah, so if that's what people are saying, but we do get different people from different groups saying different things,
Well, thank you so much for being such a good sport and for coming by the studio this morning, Madam Rahayu Mazam, MP and Vice Chairman of REACH. If you want to provide feedback on this year's budget, what you can do is head on to reach.gov.sg/budget2019. And like she mentioned, it's a platform for you to express yourself as well.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.